In Commander, you're going to lose more games than you're going to win. It's a simple matter of numbers and the inherent randomness of multiplayer formats. All other things being equal, and first turn advantage notwithstanding, you can expect to win about 25% of your games. Where 60 and 4 players are scrapping it out to try to get their win percentages close to 60, top-notch Commander players are unlikely to ever break 40%. When there are so many losses coming our way, is there any way that we can learn from them? Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are using the most powerful cards available. And in CEDH, the C for competitive doesn't necessarily mean that players are expecting to grind out their win percentage to that 60%. There are going to be a lot of losses, but there are things we can take away from our defeats in almost any type of a Commander game. Today, I'm going to go over some of the questions you should ask yourself after being beaten in a game that you're trying to learn from. The first question to ask is, when did you lose? I've mentioned before that I've taken to putting a spin-down die on the corner of my playmat in order to keep track of the turns of the game. It's a helpful way to determine if I'm hitting my land drops, when my deck is transitioning from the getting ready to the all set up and to the going for it stages. And it's also a really helpful way for me to tell when my game ended. I can ask myself whether the game ended before or after the critical turn that I predicted for my deck. It's more than just, though, when did the game end? It's also, when did my opponent go for it? When was their critical turn? When did they become unstoppable? Even if the game ended on turn 10, the game may have been decided earlier on turn 6, when the Reanimator deck was able to sack their board away to set up an incredibly one-sided living death from which the rest of the players were just never able to recover. Another good question to ask is, what did you lose to? As I hinted above, it's not always the card which does lethal damage to you which results in your loss. It's often a card or a play which put the winning player in a position of inevitability. Your challenge is to identify, what was it that put your opponents on their trajectory towards victory? Did your opponent have a play that put them far ahead, or did they have a card that landed which they managed to stick and protect to grind out value with? Or did you make a mistake that led to your defeat? Let me give you some examples from my own history, some of which are burned forever into my memory. Keenan Bonder Prodigy is a fairly powerful CEDH deck, with some interesting synergy in assembling the game-winning combos to dump infinite mana into Keenan's activated ability. And one of those lines goes through Spellseeker, a wizard for 2 and a blue, which has the ETB effect of tutoring up an instant or sorcery card with a mana value of 2 or less. One of my early games with the deck featured me windmail slamming a Spellseeker onto the board to grab a tutor for my Basalt Monolith and go for the win. To which another player correctly responded, cool, Torpor Orb is still in play though. My mistake here is quite clear. I essentially threw away the card I needed to tutor up my win condition. Let's look at another one that's less cut or dry though. More recently, I had a questionable play with my Gruul Nyeth of the Dire Hunt deck. On turn 2, both an Elsha of the Infinite deck and a Korvold Fae Cursed King deck were making some early moves. Elsha had landed a 2-mana value rock, and Korvold had played out both a Soul Ring and a Sylvan Library. Having gone first, my turn 3 was going to be spent with me ramping with a 3 visits in order to get my red mana off the back of a Stomping Ground. Then, I was going to try to cast Hull Breach. I had placed a high priority on removing the Sylvan Library, as I was at least 2 turns off from being able to both land my commander and start having some fights that would draw me additional cards. After that, I faced the decision of whether to remove the 2-mana value rock on Elsha's side of the board or the Soul Ring on Korvald's side of the board, and ultimately, I selected the Soul Ring in order to set the Korvald player back at least 2 turns. I would then spend most of my resources for the rest of the game trying to keep Elsha off the table to minimize the number of extra turns they could take with protection. And ultimately, Korvold would get enough draws without being the threat at the table to claw back into the game and score a win. Because I assessed Korvold as being the greater threat than Elsha, I chose to remove both Korvold's Soul Ring and Sylvan Library, which let Elsha come online a turn early and then chain together several mana rocks off the top of their deck. And this ultimately led to them chaining together multiple extra turn spells. I'm still not sure if this was the correct play or not, whether I should have blown up the Soul Ring or the 2-mana value rock. But I think this is one that was a critical decision point within the game, and part of a conversation I would have later with my opponents. On the other hand, not everything that leads to an opponent getting ahead is a result of your misplay. Sometimes, your opponent simply gets the better draw and can be the first one to go for it. The first step in analyzing this particular situation is to try to determine whether or not your opponent was on the more focused deck compared to you or the more value deck. We've talked about this before, but it's the rough analog in our format of who's the beatdown. The focus deck is trying to win before you can overwhelm them with a resource advantage, while the value deck is going to try to overwhelm you with a resource advantage. I had a game recently against the same Korval deck that I discussed a moment ago, this time with me playing Kolfinar the Last U. This put us both on a value game plan, but Korval was getting much farther ahead on value, drawing 5 to 6 cards per turn cycle, creating multiple 2/2 zombie creature tokens off of a Field of the Dead, whereas I was recycling big, dumb creatures in and out of the graveyard, only drawing 2 to 3 extra cards per cycle, and not adding any extra bodies to the board. Reflecting on this game, turn 4, when the Korvald player managed to land Lord Windgrace, before Korvald came online, this was the critical turn, as he was now getting multiple extra draws each turn, while pitching lands like Dachmoor Salvage into the graveyard, to really kick his graveyard-based landfall strategy into overdrive. Meanwhile, I lacked flyers or other evasive threats to remove Lord Windgrace, and the only player who had any evasive attackers said that he was worried about the crackbat from the Korvald player. As a result, the next several turns were spent with Lord Windgrace ticking up over and over, accruing more and more value for Korvald, until he simply ultimated Lord Windgrace, removed all possible opposition, and blasted the board down with a horde of zombies and one big, angry dragon daddy. Along this note, a very helpful question to ask is, would the outcome have changed if only I'd drawn card X? One way this analysis is very helpful is when you're trying to tune a deck. What card were you hoping to top deck when you were losing? Are there any other cards like it which may fit into your deck as well? Going back to my last example, I was hoping to get some kind of removal, any kind of removal, which would just let me interact with the Korvald player to stop the value train. But my draws were mostly just big, dumb creatures. My deck was doing a great job of casting lots of creatures, over and over, cycling them in and out of the graveyard, but it wasn't abusing those ETB or sac effects. So in my next revision of my Kolfinar deck, I'll be adding more creatures which have relevant ETB effects, or can be sacked, to interact with an opponent's game plan. So, Kasali Pride Mage and Cathar Commando are both looking like good includes in the next revision. Also important to consider is how likely that particular scenario is to be the critical turn again in the future. I've learned that I really want more interactive creatures in my deck, but I don't necessarily think that I really need to focus on anti-Planeswalker tech. While Lord Windgrace certainly took over the value game for Korvald in that particular episode, in all honesty, there are so many ways to enable multiple landfalls in Korvald that I'd be better served simply having more removal for those situations rather than specifically packing heat against Lord Windgrace. Now, the real next-level Galaxy Brain play is definitely to talk it over with other players in the pod after the game ends with a good post-game discussion. Just ask if your opponents also thought that the game turned out the way it did around the card that you had identified as the pivotal card. Going back to our example above, let's look at Korvald again. And our post-game discussion really centered primarily around Lord Windgrace. Korvald's pilot agreed that Lord Windgrace was the initial engine piece which let him get ahead, and his biggest concern the turn after playing it was that someone would have the removal to swing in and take it away before he could establish his engine. Even if there's no consensus, you can learn a lot just by asking other players what had them worried at the table. You can find out what their decks are going to be concerned with, and you can find the things that they already had an answer for. The thing that was crippling you may have been not a concern at all to another one of your opponents, because they had a Swords to Plowshares in hand the whole time anyway. Now, while I could regale you with many more stories of my bad beats, I'm more interested in hearing from you. What are some ways you've learned from your defeats in Commander? What types of post-game talks do you have with other players? What are some of your bad beats where you came so close to victory, but just wound up tasting defeat like everybody else? Let us know. Leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mind Podcast. You can email us if you have a long-form question at gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com, or you can add us on Twitter, where we are @gemstonemindmtg. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mind.